It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. You know, given the weather we've been experiencing over the last couple of days in the New York area, it really gives you an appreciation for that old axiom, April showers bring May flowers and May flowers bring pilgrims. But what happens if the flowering and the May weather starts in April? Well, it is in some ways the best of times because it's just delightful to be outside. But if you're like me, and I'm sure like a lot of you that happen to be awake right now, and you need to sleep during the day, you actually feel kind of guilty about going outside or about sleeping instead of going outside when it's this nice out. Well, our go-to expert when it comes to a better way of connecting with people, a better way of dealing with your own mood, and certainly our go-to expert when it comes to flowers has been a gentleman we've been really enjoying chatting with on the radio. And a fellow that I've been proud to come to know a little bit and call a friend. Very pleased to welcome back to the program, Jim McCann, the founder of 1-800-Flowers and Smile Farms. Jim, great to talk to you. Thanks for joining me on the radio again.
Good to talk to you, but this weather change is kind of dramatic, Frank. I was down south, came back late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, got my schedule from my wife of a full itinerary of lacrosse games to go see for my grandkids. And I didn't quite dress warm enough because it was cold and it was windy on those fields yesterday. And then today, it's a whole different story.
That's for sure. It has been incredible spring weather, and it's great for people's mood. I find when I'm walking around the neighborhood, folks, perfect strangers are more willing to say hello to you. Folks are smiling for seemingly no reason. And overall, I get the sense that there's a much improved sense of well-being and temperament. What about you?
Absolutely, Frank. When I was down south last week, I was down at Augusta to see some of the golf on Saturday, and I just marveled at how friendly everybody is. Now, I'm sure they interview for that. I'm sure they're training for that. I'm sure they're rewarding that. But I think you just start out with nicer people, and it might be because of the weather they have on a year-round basis there. It just puts a bounce in your step. I think you're right.
The other thing about Augusta, and I mentioned this on yesterday's program, which I think is worth implementing in a wide variety of other places, is apparently they don't allow mobile phones. And one of the things that I get kind of annoyed with is it seems like wherever you go, nice restaurants, museums, really any place, people are staring at their mobile phone. It must be nice to get a little bit of a respite from that at a place like Augusta.
It's so strange. You don't realize how dependent we are on our mobile devices now. I was with three other folks. I was their guest. And we spent the day talking about the fact that we kept reaching for our pocket. Every time you asked a question, you were reaching to Google the answer or to check a time or where you were going next. We all had a difficult time with it. But as you got toward the end of the day, you said, that was kind of nice, too, because we really had some good conversation. We really got to know one another really, really well and really enjoyed the company of one another throughout the whole day. So it's one of those very, very few places. As you say, you go out to a restaurant now and you look at a family of four, no one's looking up. They're all looking at their devices. Or my wife and I were in a restaurant not too long ago and there were six ladies, three probably moms and three daughters who were in their 20s. And I looked over at the table. I said to Mary Lou, I said, do you think they're having a good time? Because all six of them were staring at the device. This is a real problem for young families now. How do you monitor how much screen time your kids get?
Yeah, it is tough. And, you know, our son obviously is only two. He doesn't have a phone or anything like that. But a lot of the boys in the neighborhood that are a little bit older, they all have these devices, these tablets or whatever they are. And because he wants to play with them, sometimes he's drawn to what they're doing. And it becomes a struggle, even if you keep your child away from it, to get not get him upset, especially at two, if they don't have the emotional maturity to understand why you're not letting them play with something. something, it becomes difficult for them to just stay away from the devices that their peers may have. But one of the things that's great about this weather, though, Jim, is I think it's a good opportunity if you're able to work from home, which a lot of people do, or you happen to just do a lot of prep work from home, as I do, to get outside, get a little bit of vitamin D while you're doing some things. But one of the things I don't know that people always consider when the weather first starts getting nice is maybe it's an opportunity to try some new things or some things that you haven't done in a while. Maybe roller skating or just go for a walk in a neighborhood or a place that you haven't necessarily tried. Do you find that this time of year is a good opportunity to try some new things?
I do, Frank, and I see that happening more and more. You mentioned walks. As I've gotten older, I'm not jogging as much as I used to, but I'm sure I sure want to get my exercise. My wife and I are both walkers, and it's so much. You see a community so differently when you walk it. Mm. Even if you're in the city, you can take a subway a few stops and walk a new neighborhood. It just changes your perspective on things. When I'm walking, I'm often listening to your podcast. I'm listening to books on tape, so you can do a couple of things. And I always have a little piece of a pad with me and a pen, because you get ideas, you just jot them down. It's a chance to let your mind go a little on free roll, and then let's see what ideas come from that. So yeah, I love to do that. And this time of the year, the smells are so good, the colors, everything's in flower. It's a glorious time of the year. But walking is my baseline things. But yes, trying something new all the time. My son was just telling me a little while ago that he took my grandson, and they went down to the beach. They had surf casting rods that they got for the holidays. And he said, you know, their son was all excited about it. He said, we got down there, we did it for about 10 minutes, and then he said, Daddy, I'm cold. But the idea they were trying something new and trying it together like that, especially father, son, grandfather, grandson, those are fun things to do. So even if it's not for you, you doing it for Calm Mind makes all the difference in the world, because even though he's only two, soon he'll be remembering those things that just he and Dad did together. And I had a chat with a friend of ours, Tom Colicchio, famous restaurateur, owns Kraft Restaurant down on 19th Street, probably one of the best top 10 restaurants in the city by my count. And I did a podcast with him not too long ago, and he said the three things that he most enjoys doing in life today are cooking, gardening, and fishing. And you know what three things he did with his grandfather growing up in Newark, New Jersey? Cooking, fishing, and gardening. So you don't realize that those bonding experience, the way you discover new things with somebody else, stays with you forever and will likely impact the rest of your life. So you're at such an important stage with Calm Mind now. I remember you talking about you and he going for his haircut. That's something he's going to remember. And every time he thinks about a haircut, he's going to think about a dad taking him down there. And what they did, they stop and get the ice cream on the way home, or was he allowed to have a treat? That's bonding and memory creation that's of great value.
Well, even if he doesn't remember, the memories that I have are going to be valuable enough for both of us. All right, I don't want to give anybody else a toothache here. I would talk with Jim McCann, founder of 1-800-Flowers. Jim, I caught a piece that you wrote, which was really interesting, and it caused me to think about something in a new way that I've been doing pretty much my whole life, and since I've become a semi-public person and have a lot more conversations with strangers, it's something that I do a great deal more than I did as, say, a teenager, and that's small talk. You had a great piece about the art of small talk and why that matters. I think a lot of folks listening may view small talk as something of a burden, as something that's annoying, as something to get out of the way when you find yourself at a party or at a social function and you're shoulder to shoulder with someone that you don't necessarily know. Why does small talk get a bad rap? What can small talk be used effectively for? And how do you do small talk well?
Well, I think it's a terrible misnomer, because small talk, while it seems small, really isn't. It's a pathway to relationships. It's a pathway to socialization, to normalization, to comfort-producing environments. And, you know, one of the things that here at Flowers, in the Flowers companies, you know, when we're training our customer service people, the toughest thing to do is to break out of their shyness, to break them out of their mold. and to teach them that when they're interacting with a customer, they can be a whole new persona. They can make believe there's someone who's not shy and who does enjoy conversation. And find your comfort areas, we teach them. If it's geography, because you've traveled a bit and you want to talk about where the customer is from or where the recipient is living, whether it's about the weather or the change in seasons or about the big news of the day, find your comfort zone and don't be afraid to talk, because just in the couple of minutes that we've been chatting, people can get a sense of we're comfortable with one another, we're relaxed. And the thing I most admire, so I told you I had the opportunity to go to Augusta over on Saturday. And there's a nice dinner and party afterwards, and not everybody knew one another. And a long time ago, I might have been one of those shy people who was uncomfortable unless I was in a conversation. If for a minute I was standing alone, I might be uncomfortable about that. That's over for me, Frank, because I take on the role, and I try and teach this to my kids and now my grandkids. I go and I figure out, hey, I used to be shy, so let me see if I can help somebody. And let me find somebody who's standing alone, doesn't really seem to have any conversation going on. Let me go over and introduce myself to them, find out something about them. Is that what you do? You're in the real estate world. Well, did you meet this new vice chairman of the bank here who happens to be an expert in real estate financing? No, I haven't. Well, come on, let me. Now I'm the host. So I'm busy trying to make other people feel comfortable, trying to find what they're interested in so that I can introduce them to somebody else. And all of a sudden, you forgot to be shy. So small talk is about investing in relationships, investing in getting to know someone. And if you ask the questions, you genuinely get an opportunity to learn about the person you're with so that you can find out what are your common areas of interest or what's something that you're amazed at by them. And then if you just keep asking questions, you'll find out you really get to know the person kind of quickly. And if you're comfortable using humor, it can sometimes really accelerate the relationship development. So I don't think small talk's very small at all, and I think it's the key to relationships. And I think, Frank, we learned that hard lesson during COVID, when you didn't see that same barista every day, and you didn't see that the fellow who works security in the office building. Those little micro social contacts, when they were all missing, you really felt them being gone. And so I think our experiences are an accumulation of those things, big and small. And when you don't have the small ones, you really do miss them.
By the way, if people want to read this commentary about small talk or the commentaries that you do on a regular basis, tell folks how they can do that.
Well, we have a newsletter that we've been doing now for 4 years that we send out to our customers who subscribe to it on Sundays. It's called Celebrations A Pulse, and you can just come to celebrationspulse.com and sign up, or sign up those you think would enjoy being part of the dialogue, being part of the community we're creating here. And it may be small talk, but it's our way of engaging and learning and inviting our communities and our customers who've now become part of our community to engage with us and to help us think through items big and small.
Another interesting item that I think people often neglect is how to make sure that we don't overlook the people in our work life. This is Administrative Professionals Month, and I'm wondering if you have any suggestions of ways that we can do a good job appreciating those who help us do our job. What do you think?
Well, next week's a week. Yes, it's a whole month, but next week is Administrative Professionals Week. So that's the Sunday the 21st through the 27th, and Wednesday the 24th is the day we can celebrate. And I know, Frank, it started out as Secretaries Week. Well, the idea of secretaries is not as appropriate as it used to be. And by the way, the roles and jobs that people do that are in those administrative roles, and around our shop here at Flowers, we have some people are in administrative functions. Like, I have the world's greatest executive assistant. Her name is Patty Altadonna. She's been my victim, Frank, now for 31 years. She makes my life work. She makes it simple, and she makes it fun. She's extremely competent, and I will tell you that Patty, when she first started working here, she was a shy person, and now she's learned to embrace roles where when she goes to a conference we're involved in now, and she's working the reception desk and meeting people, many of whom she's only heard over the telephone, or emailed with, and now she meets them in person. She has a grand time, and she goes, well, I says, well, I thought I'd be uncomfortable, but I really loved meeting all those people and having a good time. But then we have people who answer the phones. We have people who work our reception desk. We have people who run our mail room. We have people who run our copy supply activities. So these are all administrative support people who make our shop run. And so we try and do different things. We have a breakfast next week where we invite them all together and their managers introduce them and tell them what they do and what's so special about them. Cost you nothing to do. Maybe the cost of a cup of coffee or some bagels. You can send them a note saying, I know this is Administrative Professionals Month, and I just wanted to use it as an excuse to recognize you and say thank you for the way you make this place run every day of the working year. And so you can send them a note. You can send them a text. You can send them an email. You can send them a card. You can have a little reception. You can stop and pat them on the shoulder and say, I just want you to know that I know that you make this place work. So recognizing them in the way that says, you're a professional, I see you, I appreciate you, and I want to recognize you, and all of us turn our attention to say thanks to you during this, your week. If it rises to the occasion, you want to send a gift, I know a whole bunch of fun things you can send. But recognition is the most important thing we can do.
I bet. And if you want to take a look at some of the gifts that are possible, you can go to 1-800-Flowers.com. It's always a chat with Jim McCann. Jim, thank you. Let's do this again soon.
Frank, I love your show and always happy to talk to you.
And if people didn't catch that, he said the key takeaway is he gets ideas while listening to this podcast. So if you're in a creative field or any field that requires ideas, best thing you can do, listen to this show regularly. And pretty soon you'll be a successful entrepreneur yourself and a best-selling author. If you want to comment on any portion of our conversation, be my guest, 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.